down for a minute. The word Trinkara means decoration, my dear Trinkararchi. Someone said Radharani was 10 years in separation from Krishna. She left Rasadan. Rasadan's every night, and sometimes Radharani was leaving a dance without Krishna, sometimes Krishna's leaving a dance without Radha. Sometimes they were both leave together. So on this particular time, Radharani came here, and she was kind of upset because there were so many other newcomer gopis that had come to join the Rasa dance, the Maharas dance in Sharad Purnima. Gopis that had become liberated, Sadhana Siddha gopis and Kripa Siddha gopis, like the Rishichari gopis, Munichari gopis, the Yodhya Patnis, etc., etc. So they had entered that Rasa dance, and Radharani was thinking, who are all these newcomers? And she ran off in a huff. And she came under here under a beautiful banyan tree, which is remaining here. This stump here is the remainder of that original 5,000-year-old banyan tree. Transcendental cup of Riksha, which Radharani sat under, which is depicted in that painting. And Krishna came over there, and he tried to break her mind by rendering various humble services. So you see in the painting, he picked some flowers, he reached up and picked some flowers from the trees, and malati flowers from the vines. He was brushing Radharani's hair, he was brushing her hair, and then he was decorating her hair with beautiful flowers to try to, again, get her favor and give up her transcendental anger. So this is Sringarbhad. And then 500 years ago, Lord Nityananda came here, and he came to Vrindavan, and he was moving here by the Jamuna. And right, this is the last place Lord Nityananda stayed. Of course, he stayed at Radhakund. He has a sitting place at Radhakund, in Nityananda Baitas. But this is the last place that Lord Nityananda stayed before he went to Navadvip. And in Navadvip, he hid himself in Nandanacharya's house for a few hours, a few days, and then he was discovered personally by Lord Chaitanya, and that's when they met. And then shortly after, they began the Sankirtan movement. In Bhakti Ratnakar, there's some description here of this place. In a few days, Lord Nityananda reached Mathura and enjoyed sporting in the mood of a child with the young boys there. Whoever saw Lord Nityananda just once could not leave his association for a moment. That's very nice. Whoever saw Lord Nityananda just once could not leave his association for a moment. So that means there must be a quality in how we see the Lord. If we actually see the Lord, then we'll never leave him for a moment. As is explained here, they saw Lord Nityananda and they could not leave him for a moment. So we have to pray for the day when our hearts are so pure and our minds are so pure that when we see the Lord, we'll never leave him for a moment, or we'll curse our eyes for blinking. The eye, by physical construction, is automatically blinking every 60th of a second. The eye is imperceptibly blinking, because every time the eye blinks, it washes the eye with some fluid to protect the eye. So this is actually going on. We don't even know. Our eyes blinking, you know, hundreds of times every, you know, minute or something. So the gopis were cursing Brahma as an imperfect creator because every time the eye blinks, they were not able to see Krishna for that fraction of a second. So this type of attachment and attraction we want to develop and pray for and hanker for and cry for the day when we'll see Krishna and never want to leave him for a moment. Lord Nityananda is the supreme personification of sweetness. Innumerable people came to see him, but Lord Nityananda did not remain in one place. He wandered throughout Braj in great ecstasy. The Lord came here and he offered obeisances to Madan Gopal. And he had many pastimes on the bank of the Yamuna. Sometimes he would sit under this beautiful banyan tree, and sometimes he would roll in the dust. When we go, when we circumambulate this temple, the Sringar Mandir, with this chitra, this painting is there. Behind there's some sand, some brajaraj, some dust from this place. And that's exactly the very spot where Krishna sat there. If the tree was here and the branches were going so far, it was a huge tree. So Radharani was sitting over there on that sand, and Krishna was decorating hair over there. So Lord Nityananda was rolling in the sand, so the sand back there is drenched with the Nityananda Kripa, the mercy of Nityananda. And of course, Nityananda is Guru Tattva, or Guru. So by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one can get free from sense gratification. And when one gets free from sense gratification, the mind becomes pure. And when the mind is pure, then one can chant the holy name without offenses. And when one chants the holy name of offenses, gradually he becomes qualified to enter the land of Vrindavan. And when one's qualified and enters the land of Vrindavan with a pure mind and heart, then he can serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, without receiving the mercy of Lord Nityananda, it is impossible to attain the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. That mercy is presented before us through the lotus feet of the spiritual master who represents Lord Nityananda. So when we go back there, we can take some of the dust on our head and pray Lord Nityananda to please bless us to get free from sense gratification and become eligible and qualified to enter the eternal land of Vrindavan for the eternal loving service of the lotus feet of Radha and Govinda. And when Nityananda, sometimes he would take flowers, he would pick flowers from the vine, and he would decorate himself. And as he would do this, he would call out, "Where is Kanai? Where is the Lord of my life? Oh, Kanai, where are you?" Kanai is named for Krishna. So when Nityananda was here, he was in the mood of Lord Balaram, crying out, "Where is my brother? Where is Krishna? Where is Kanai?" Filled with ecstatic feelings, the body of Lord Nityananda would tremble and his long lotus eyes would fill with tears. Thus the Lord enjoyed his pastimes in Vrindavan. Who has the power to understand his activities? Lord Nityananda could understand at this time that Lord Chaitanya was secretly enjoying his pastimes in Navadvipa. So becoming impatient due to his attraction to Lord Chaitanya, he left this place, Nityanandabad, and he went to Navadvipa, where he met with Lord Chaitanya. There's one nice explanation here by Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj in his magazine here about the meaning of the word Nitai. Just like in Vrindavan, everywhere, because this is the land of Srimati Radharani, she is the queen here. So if you want to enter into this land, if you want to stay in this land, you have to realize that the perfection of life is to become a humble, surrendered servant of the lotus feet of Radharani. Because Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, Rohini, Vrishabhana Maharaj, Kirtida, Sridham, Sudham, Krishna, Balaram, all the gopis, all the gopas, all the elderly gopis, Purnamasi, Kundalata, Yogamaya, everyone and everything in Vrindavan is simply engaged in the service of Krishna. Even the leaves on the service of Radharani. Even the leaves on the trees are chanting the holy name of Srimati Radharani. They're chanting Radharani's name. But when you go to Ekachakradham is the divine appearance place of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. When you go there, everyone's chanting Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai, Jai Nitai. But when you come to Vrindavan, everyone's chanting Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai,
Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai.
Bolo Barsane Wali ki Jai, Jai, Jai.
Bolo Barsane Wali ki Jai, Jai, Jai.
Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai,
Radha Rani ki Jai, Maharani ki Jai.
Bolo Barsane Wali ki Jai, Jai, Jai.
Bolo Barsane Wali ki Jai, Jai, Jai.
Radhe 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe.
Radhe 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe.
Radhe 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 Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Radhe 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe. What does this word Nitai mean? We say Jai Nitai. Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai.
Jai Nitai. Jai Nitai. Jai Nitai. Jai Nitai. So he's telling here that the word Nitai means, actually the word Nitai means nay. The word nay or Nitai means to take this. Take this, take this, take this. So what are we taking? What do we want to take from Nityananda? So he explains that Nityananda, the only asset or the only wealth that a devotee has is the holy name of the Lord. And if a devotee is pure and exalted, then he has Premanam. He has a loving name, he has actual Premanam, and he can give Shudanam or Premanam to anyone who asks for it. That's why Lord Chaitanya is glorified by Rupa Goswami. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradhayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gvara Tushay Namaha. Krishna Prema Pradaya. Pradaya means to take, to give. He's giving Pradaya. He's giving Krishna Prema. So the word Nitai Narada Nityananda is saying, take it, take it, take it, take this, take this. He's giving prema. He's giving love of Godhead. Even more so than Lord Chaitanya, because Jagai and Madai, they offended Nittai. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu wanted to kill them, bring out his chakra from his Vishnu roop, and kill Jagai, or kill Madai for offending Nityananda Prabhu. The Lord Nityananda said, no, stop. Let them get love of Godhead. So Lord Nityananda, he intervened on behalf of Madai. He said, take this, take this, take love of God. So this is the meaning of the word Nittai. Nittai means to take this, to take. So the only asset that a devotee has is this Nam Chintamani. So when we go to the Lord and the Lord's devotees, we pray, please give me this, please give me this Prema Nam. He says, please give me Krishna Prema. We want nothing else. A Vaishnava never begs for anything else. Whereas the Karmis, they're always begging for something. Give me Dharma, give me religion. And by religion, I get Artha or money or sense gratification or position or fame. And when I get all this Artha, then I can get Kama. I can get happiness and enjoyment. And if I'm not pleased with that, if I'm frustrated with that, then I want to annihilate myself in a Buddhistic nirvana, or I want to attain oneness, Brahman, liberation, Sayujya. So they want this moksha. The devotee doesn't want any of that. He simply says, please, give me the name. And the name gives all that. The name will give whatever you want. If you chant Bhuktanam, if you chant Bhuktanam or Bhognam, you chant name with aparad, you get bhukti. If you chant name without aparad, namabhash, you get mukti. But if you chant pure name, you chant pure name, you get prema. So we want to take that. That's what we want to take from the name. We want to take prema. We want Krishna prema. So Lord Nityananda, this nittai and netai. Netai or nittai means take this, take this. That is all we are begging for. So we are beggars. We are prema bhikari. We are begging for prema. From this place to Nityananda's lila, this lila stan and Nityananda Prabhu, we should beg him for Radha Krishna prema. Because this is a place that is saturated, Sringarbhat is saturated with the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And this place is all part of Sevakmani. Krishna came here and did Seva. Seva means service. He served Srimati Radharani. Because Radha Dasyam, that is the perfection of Gaudiya Vaishnava, to become a humble servant of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So in this place, under this banyan tree, the Supreme Personality of God is Sevya Bhagavan. He did service to Srimati Radharani. And then back behind Radha Damodar in the other part of Sevakund, he dug a well for Lalita Sakhi with his flute. But she was tired and thirsty from rasa dancing, so he served Lalita by digging her a kund or well for her to drink fresh water. And all over this area is called Sevakund. So we'll just take Prithma here and then Darshan. Then we'll line up here in rows, starting first row here and all the way across this way for Prasadam. Nityananda Rama ki
jai,
Ek Chakra Dama ki
jai,
Nityananda Bhat ki
jai,
Nityananda Bhat ki
jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Jai Govardhanandi Hari Hari Bo. So just do parikrama there, take some dust on our heads and pray for the mercy of Nityananda, become free from sense gratification, and take, we only want to take one thing from Lord Nityananda, that's prema nam. Father. He was getting ready to walk in the jungle. Hey, chup.
Chup,
chup. Haribo, Haribo. Hanuman. Jai Shri Ram.
Jai Shri Ram.
Hanuman. So Lord Nityananda wanted to enter the village. I mean, entered the jungle, which was outside of the village of his uncle's house. And all the villagers said, don't go! Don't go, there's a very big poisonous cobra in that village. And anyone who goes into that forest never returns again. But Nityananda did not listen to them. Hey, chup.
How do you say goodbye in Bengali?
Not in Bengali, but I don't know anything.
Hey. They told him don't go, and Lord Nityananda said, I don't care, I'm going. He didn't listen to them. So then he went into the jungle, and that great cobra was staying underneath a tamal tree. And he raised his hood and he started hissing. The Lord Nityananda was not at all disturbed, not at all afraid. He raised his hand and said, hey, stupid rascal. Stay right there. Who are you? Why are you persecuting and killing innocent animals? himself is Nagaraj Ananta. He is Ananta Shesh, the king of all snakes. So when he told that cobra to stop, that great cobra stopped. Then the cobra related his history from Dwapara Yuga. Some other stories. As a son of Padmavati and Hadai Pundit. In his childhood, he liked to play like Lord Balaram. But when he grew up, the sannyasi came to the house of his father, Hadai Pundit, and begged the Pundit to please give his son, Nittai, as his brahmachari assistant. Hadai Pundit immediately agreed and delivered his son, Nittai, to the sannyasi. Although the separation was greatly shocking, so much so that Hadai lost his life after the separation from his beloved son, Nittai. Nityananda Prabhu traveled on many pilgrimages with the sannyasi, and he came to Mathura and stayed several days in Vrindavan with that sannyasi. But when he heard that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were commencing in Navadvip, he left that place and came to Bengal to see the Lord. Understanding that Nityananda Prabhu had arrived and was staying in the house of Nandanacharya in secret, Lord Chaitanya sent his devotees to Nittai, and thus there was a wonderful meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Everyone remembers that they went there to that house, Nandanacharya, which is to the left, out the gate from our Mayapur temple. You go down the road, it's the house of Nandanacharya. So that's where Lord Chaitanya met Nityananda. This is Kansamani Leela, 17th chapter, verse 12 of its purport. The house of Srivas Pandit at Srivas Angam. He was treating the wife of Srivas Pandit, whose name was Malini Devi, just like his mother. Day and night he was in the mood of a baby child. Nityananda Prabhu would sometimes suck the breast of Malini Devi and accept her milk. Even though Malini was an old woman and had no young children, and her breasts were dried up, Malini was an elderly lady with no young children, and her breasts were no longer any milk. But because of a Vatsalya Bhav, automatically milk was coming there. She was offering her milk to Nityananda. Very extraordinary pastime. Lord Nityananda was in the mood of a child, although he was fully grown up. As soon as Nityananda Prabhu would touch her breast, milk would come out. One day a crow came there and stole a small pot of ghee from the house. He took it in his beak and he flew far away. Then he came back with an empty beak. And then he sat there, the crow sat there and said, what else can he say? But,
caw, 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 caw.
When Malini Devi saw that the crow had returned without the pot of ghee, she became very much aggrieved, because she was afraid that when her husband came home, he would chastise her for losing that pot of ghee. So she started crying. At that time, Nityananda Prabhu came and he was smiling. He said, Mother, why are you crying? What has happened to you? What is your problem? I will solve all your problems. And Malini said, Oh, Sripad Goswami, this crow took away my ghee pot, or the ghee pot of my husband, and he will be very upset if he comes back and he doesn't find it. This crow is just sitting here saying, caw, caw, caw. Nityananda Prabhu said, Mother, don't cry, don't worry, I will get it back. Then he ordered the crow, Hey, crow, immediately go and bring back that pot of ghee. Immediately the crow went, brought back the pot of ghee, and put it back in the courtyard. Malini Devi was amazed to see the wonderful influence of Nityananda Prabhu. Mahaprabhu was sitting with his wife Lakshmi Priya in Mayapur. Lakshmi Priya was offering betel nut to her husband. Then Nityananda Prabhu, being intoxicated with Krishna Prema, he came into Lord Chaitanya's house and took his clothes off and started dancing naked like a mad fellow, because he's Navadut. And then Chaitanya said, Oh Nityananda, why are you naked? Put on some cloth. And then Mahaprabhu took off his own chadar and wrapped it around Nityananda. Observing this wonderful leela, Satchimata started laughing. At this time, she was simply thinking that Nityananda was like her eldest son, Vishwaroop. One day Satyamata bought 5 pieces of sandesh to Nityananda for eating. Nityananda ate 1 piece and threw the other 4 out on the ground. Of course, that's something we would never do.
Yeah.
Somebody offered us 5 pieces of sandesh, then of course, we would honor them all with great happiness. We wouldn't eat one and throw 4 away. Nityananda ate 1 and threw 4 away. So then, Mother Saji said, what will you do? You threw out the sandesh. Now how will you eat? Nityananda Prabhu said, Mother, why do you give them to me all at once? Satyamata said, now there's no more sandesh in the house. Now what will you eat? Why did you throw those out on the ground? Nityananda Prabhu said, well, why don't you go in the kitchen, Satyamata, and just look over there and see what you find? So Satyamata went to the kitchen, and to her surprise, she saw 4 pieces of sandesh lying there. And she was bewildered, thinking, how did that sandesh get in the house when Nityananda just threw it out on the ground outside, over the boundary wall? He actually threw it over the wall. Then Satyamata brought the sandesh to Nityananda again. And when she arrived, he was startled to see that Nityananda Prabhu was sitting eating the sandesh. She was surprised. How is it possible? He's already eating it, and I haven't even brought it yet. And then she said, Nityananda, where did you get this other sandesh? And then Nityananda said, well, I put it away. When you became aggrieved, then I brought it back. Seeing this wonderful pastime, Satyamata said, I cannot figure you out. Who are you? Why are you cheating me? Who are you? Please tell me. I cannot understand or recognize you. Then all of a sudden, Nityananda again became like a little child, and he said, Mother, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And then he ran to touch the feet of Satyamata. Such is the wonderful pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu. One day, Lord Nityananda was acting like a small, naked child, laughing with tears of love coming from his eyes. He was sometimes roaring, jumping, dancing. In this condition, he came into the room where Mahaprabhu was sitting. Mahaprabhu looked at Lord Nityananda, who was naked, and immediately took off the turban from his head and he put it on Nityananda. Then he bought some nice sandalwood paste and smeared it on the body of Nityananda Prabhu. Then he took a flower garland and decorated Nityananda with that beautiful flower garland. Then he sat Nityananda on a beautiful asan and began to offer him prayers. Name Nityananda Tumi, Rupe Nityananda, E Tumi Nityananda, Ramamurti Manta. Your name is Nityananda. You are full of eternal bliss, Nitya Ananda. Your beautiful form is Nityananda, full of eternal bliss. Thus you are Nityananda Ram. Then Mahaprabhu begged a piece of copin from Nityananda. Copin, no, underwood. Then Mahaprabhu tore that copin into small pieces and he distributed it to all the devotees. And he told them, all of you put this copin of Lord Nityananda on your head. Take it and worship it in your house. By doing so, clear the stairs so people can get up here to throw their plates away. And come up the stairs. Oh, clear this area. Move off the stairs. People have to come up and throw their plates to make this area clear.
Can people get out of the way?
There's the opening there.
So Lord Chaitanya is telling all the devotees, you take this copan, this piece of copan from Lord Nityananda, you hold it on your head and worship it. Take it to your house and do puja. As you do this, if you take this piece of cloth from Nityananda and if you worship it, then surely you will get Krishna Bhakti, pure love for Krishna. This is what Lord Chaitanya is telling here in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Then Mahaprabhu told them to wash the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and to drink that water. On the order of Mahaprabhu, all the devotees drank Lord Nityananda's Charanamrita, and by so doing, they felt supreme happiness. These two brothers, Nittai and Gaur, intoxicated by Krishna Prem, like madmen, started dancing and chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Hare. Those who develop love and affection for Lord Nityananda, they will develop love and affection for me. All the demigods headed by Shiva and Brahma all worship the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. If anyone blasphemes Nityananda Prabhu or thinks ill of him, even if he is a very great devotee of mine, he must fall down. I will personally kick him out. If the nicely scented air coming from the body of Nityananda Prabhu simply touches someone, then immediately he will get Krishna Prema. Hearing this, all the devotees shouted, Jai, Jai, Nitai Shanti,
Jai!
Prema Datta Nitai Shanti,
Jai!
Pratita Bhava Nityananda Rai Ki,
Jai!
Nityananda Rama Ki,
Jai!
Jai, Jai, Shri Radhe! Temple to your left. It begins at Radha Madanmohan Temple and it goes all along the Yamuna and inland, practically to Loy Bazaar and all the way over to here. Sevapunj is not just a very small, tiny little park with a little wall around it. But Krishna's Leela sthans don't have little walls around it. There are no walls. In fact, what you see now, what we call sometimes called Sevapunj with a little wall around it, about two-thirds of what Sevakunj used to be 40 years ago. 40 years ago, Sevakunj used to extend a lot larger area. There was a fight between two brothers, and they put a wall in between one half of Sevakunj and the other. And one part of it became known as Kishorban, and the rest of it remained known as Sevakunj. There was a place called Kishorban, which was part of the original Sevakunj 40 years ago. If you turn back to about 5,000 years ago, to the time of Krishna's pastime, this whole area was all Sevakunj. And Krishna was doing different sevas to Radharani and the gopis. The Prabhupada came here to do his bhajan in the middle of Sevakunj, in the divine association of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Jiva Goswami, or none other than Vilas Mandri and Rupa Mandri. So this area is very nice, and it's very significant, because here in Sevakunj, one time, Srimati Radharani was supposed to meet with Krishna. And one kunj over here by the banks of the Yamuna. So Krishna was very late in coming over here. He said he would be there by 11 o'clock at night, but he didn't come till next morning at sunrise. So it's what you call being stood up. So Srimati Radharani was stood up by Krishna, and she didn't come. But she had been lured away by Padma and Shaji and some of the other gopis into Chandravali's kunj. They came very late over here, and Radharani was rather upset. Upset because she was not able to offer her love to Krishna, not able to serve him according to all the ways that she was thinking and planning to offer to him. And then now the day was there and it was time to depart and go to her home in Yavat. There was no time left. So she was upset for that reason. Not upset out of any selfish desire and selfish feeling. So when Krishna came, she was feeling so full of love for the Lord, and so much wanting to embrace him and hold him in her arms and keep him there forever and ever. And at the same time, she was transcendentally somewhat angry that he had not come for so long. So she reached over inside the kunj, inside the tree. In the kunj, there's so many different trees with beautiful creepers wrapped around the trees, malika and maliki creepers. So she pulled those creepers down from the tree, and she took her two arms and she went around Krishna's back and his waist, and made like a rope. She went around like this. She took these creepers, which are like a rope, and she wrapped around Krishna's waist, and she pulled them over and she tied them to a tree. And she says, now I have you. Now I've caught you. Now I've caught you and I've tied you to this tree, and I never want you to leave from here. Now you'll never come late. You'll never be away from me. Now I've trapped you in this with these vines and I've caught you here. So because of that Leela of Radharani tying up Krishna, he became known as Damodar. Damo means rope and Udara means belly. You say Vacha Vegam, Manasakota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pasta Vegam. Udara Pasta Vegam, there's six pushings, the pushings of the tongue and anger and words, mind, belly, etc. So this pushing of the belly is Udara Pashtam. So this Radha Damodar. So Radharani bound Krishna's waist with these vines, so he became known as Damodar. And during the month of Kartik was when this pastime took place, 5,000 years ago, in this place of Sevakunj. this pastime takes place. So we remember Radha Damodar during that month, and we worship them. Of course, there's also the pastime of Mother Yashoda in Gokul. We know that pastime from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Yashoda Mai also bound Krishna with the rope binding the cows. But that's for Vatsalya Bhava. For those in Madhurya Bhava, the Gaudiyas generally remember this wonderful pastime. So Prabhupada came here in 1959 and stayed for 6 years until 1965. And he went to America. So Prabhupada used to tell us that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it began here. This is where it began. It began in these rooms, in this place of Sevakunj. Prabhupada desired to engage the entire world in the service of Radha Govinda, or the service of Radha Damodar. So he went from this place completely absorbed in the mercy of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and all the six Goswamis, and he traveled around the world to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone, everywhere. What does Krishna consciousness mean? Krishna consciousness means to engage in service, to serve the devotees and to serve the Lord with your body, with your words, with your mind, with your heart, with your resources, with whatever you have in your hand. Whatever has been awarded to you, presented by the Lord, we offer that back in loving devotion, in service of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. So this is a place, Sevakunj, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead renders service to all his devotees, and where Srila Prabhupada started his movement. So we come here to get strength for service. We come here to become inspired to be servants. Jivara Sotopaya Krishnara Nityadas. We want to be reminded. When we come to this place, we want to be reminded, yes, actually, we were all servants of Krishna. We're all meant to serve him and to love him. The Radha Damodar, they're very significant. They're the deities here at Sevakunj, in this portion of Sevakunj. And just as Radharani bound Krishna with her love, we want to also be bound with the love of Krishna and bind ourselves to Krishna's lotus feet. So Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, he offered a prayer. And he says that I'm always remembering my lordship, Radha Damodar. He considered Radha Damodar to be his very, very dear lord and deities. Of course, Radha Govinda are his childhood deities, and he installed Radha Govinda in Calcutta. He installed Radha Govinda in New York. And outside of Radha Damodar, Radha Govinda, Prabhupada's next favorite deities were Radha Damodar. And he had great love for these deities, and he prayed to these deities. And he served these deities, and he lived here taking their Mahaprasadam. And once he was in Vrindavan, in 1976, he was in his house, and he was taking some, they brought a big plate of prasadam to Prabhupada. Hari Sauri and Alika cooked it, and Pishima and different devotees were cooking for him, Yamuna Devi. And they brought him a big plate of prasadam, and Srila Prabhupada, he said, that's okay, I'm not hungry. He said, Srila Prabhupada, you had a busy day, your health is good, you went on your morning walk, you gave class, you had your massage, you must be hungry now. And Prabhupada said, no, actually, you can take this prasad back because I've already taken prasadam. And the voice says, already take? I didn't see you take any lunch prasadam. He said, no, I've already taken it Radha Damodar. I'm taking Mahaprasadam at Radha Damodar. Because at that time, Prabhupada had already initiated the practice of offering prasadam to his picture here. We had a picture here in 1976. Prabhupada said we should start worshipping him in his bhajan kutir, which is usually done after the demise of the acharya. But during his life, Prabhupada had us, his disciples, start to worship him here in Radha Damodar by placing a picture on an asan in his room, in his kitchen over here, and offering him the Mahaprasadam from Radha Damodar. So he showed the devotees that actually, he told them, he said, I don't need this prasad that you've cooked up here because I've already taken Mahaprasadam at Radha Damodar.
Yeah.
So by his Prabhupada's mystic power, he was able to be sitting in Raman Reti and at the same time take prasadam in Sevakunj in Radha Damodar. He very much liked Radha Damodar's Mahaprasadam, even when he was cooking for himself when he lived here, cooking very simply, just some chapatis, and as he said in his own words in the biography, if he had a little money, he would cook some potatoes, a little sabji, but sometimes just chapatis and dal. But every day he was always taking the prasadam of Radha Damodar. And he sat in his room in such a way that he would face northerly direction. He would face the north, and he would look over his left shoulder out his window, and he'd take darshan of Radha Vrindavan Chandra, which he could see from his window.
then he would come out and see Radha-damodar from the mandap, Darshan mandap. So this place, the Prabhupada told in his own words, he said, you should understand that I eternally reside in my rooms at Radha-damodar. It was a very Akshintya Shakti statement, inconceivable statement. How Prabhupada, he's in the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna, and he's in his samadhi, and he's also here in these rooms. So this is the most sanctified and purified and transcendental place of Srila Prabhupada's divine activities here in this world. And we're all connected here to this place. This is like the umbilical cord. The umbilical cord connects the child, the baby. Hare Krishna. The umbilical cord connects the child in the womb to the mother, and that's the source of his life, his blood and breath, and very life, his prana. So we're all connected by an umbilical cord to this temple, Radha-damodar. Many devotees, as they come year to year to Vrindavan, they say, I ask them, I say, where do you go when you come to Vrindavan? They say, I go three places. The Krishna Balaram guest house, Krishna Balaram restaurant, and the Radha-damodar temple. They sleep in the guest house, they eat in the guest house, and they come to the Radha-damodar temple. These are three places. I say, what about other places, Nandagam and Varsana? No, only these three places. And everything is at Radha-damodar. It's like a supermarket. You go in a big supermarket, super bazaar, palika bazaar, you get everything there. Food and clothing and cassette and anything you want. So in the same way, what does the devotee want? The devotee wants kripakaro. He wants mercy. He wants the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So, and he wants service. He wants the service of Krishna, loving service of Krishna, and to get the loving service of Krishna and Radha, we depend on the mercy of Guru. So all those things are here. The sadhya, the goal of life, is loving service of Radha and Krishna, and the sadhana, to attain that sadhya, is the mercy and service of the lotus feet of the devotees and the Gurudev. So by coming to Sevakund, we can attain the sadhya, or the goal of life, which is the eternal loving service of Radha-damodar, and we can attain the means, or the purchasing power to attain that service, which is the mercy of the Guru. And the mercy of the previous acharyas. So Rupa Goswami is here, Jiva Goswami is here, and most important for all of us, our founding acharya Srila Prabhupada is here. So by coming to this one place, we can attain all the mercy that we require to very quickly advance in the path of pure devotional service and attain the desired result, namely Krishna Prema, as we say every day after the 10 offenses. Right? So this is a very important place. Jai Krishna Kishore Kijai. This is our god brother Krishna Kishore behind us. He's very nicely serving Prabhupada here for some time. We were somehow rather fortunate enough to spend 3 years here in these rooms serving Srila Prabhupada and the lotus feet of Radha-damodar. There's, of course, so many unlimited pastimes that happen here, most of you are familiar with. I think one of the most significant things about this temple is that there's a wonderful Govardhan Shila here, which has the footprints of the divine footprint of Lord Sri Krishna, his right foot, and also one of his calves is there, and his flute and stick. And I don't, do they have darshan already?
Yeah.
Oh, they have. Of Giraj? They have. Oh. So maybe you've all seen already that Shila. So I think in the back, what's happening? Is initiations going on or something?
Yeah.
Oh. So maybe we don't want to make a big disturbance over there. Lokanath Swami, I believe, is Lokanath Swami?
Yeah.
Lokanath Swami is initiating several disciples there, so we want to peacefully do parikrama of the temple. They say if you do four times parikrama of Radha-damodar, then you get the benefit of doing a Govardhan parikrama, because maybe we don't have time to go around Govardhan, or maybe the strength. So we can go four times around Govardhan. And then we'll go from here to... Oh, what time is Darshan and Shams? Yeah, Darshan. Can it by then?
What time is it? Right. 10:57. 11 o'clock. Huh? So 12? Go for Ananda? 11 o'clock it's unpredictable. Now it's,
yeah. Mostly by 11 o'clock in the morning, you have to see all the temples you want to see because they close for Raj Bhog at 11. And then they open for about 5 minutes, anywhere between 11:30 and 12. It becomes very difficult. It becomes a little difficult for darshan. So, I guess this is the end of the parikrama. Well, we have up the street is Radha Shyama Sundar Temple, then there's Gokulananda and Radha Raman and Govindaji remaining. We didn't see so many temples, but one thing is that everything depends on attitude. Spiritual advancement depends on attitude. What is the condition of our mind? What is the receptivity or the flexibility of our mind to receive the vibration that's going in our ears, the sound vibration, the instructions, the teachings, the mercy? We have to be very much in a receptive mood. And with an attitude, with a progressive, humble attitude of actually wanting to make spiritual advancement and wanting to receive mercy. And with that want, with that craving, with that greed or loha, we come to these holy places, these samadhis. The Rupa Goswami is back here, and then across from him is the Bhajan Kumbhir. And over here is the samadhi of Jiva Goswami and Krishna's Kaviraj and Bhakti Sananda Saraswati and King Birhambir, his Pushpa Samadhi. If we come with the right attitude, we can receive tremendous spiritual benefit. This is Chintamani Dham, the holy Dham of Vrindavan. And any mercy here flows 1,000 times with more potency than the West. You get 1,000 times more benefit from anything you do here. Any kind of service, any kind of seva, any giving donations, you get 1,000 times the benefit. So, when we come here, we come into Prabhupada's rooms, and we come as beggars, bhikshu, bhikari. Prema Bhikari. We're begging for prema. Because Golokara Prema Dhana Hari Nama Sankirtana. Golokara Prema. Prema comes down. That's like sneha. Sneha is a type of love. Sneha is like water, like liquid, like oil. It flows. Just like in a family. There's a mother and father. They have several children, 4 or 5 children. Their affection, their love will flow down from to the lowest child, to the youngest child. You will receive all their love and affection. So sneha means the liquid flow of love, the liquid flow of mercy. So the mercy of Krishna and Radha, and Radha Damodar, they're flowing down from their lotus feet. So we're coming as beggars for that. We're begging for their mercy. So if we have that attitude of begging, then something can happen. We can actually attain some great fortune by our pilgrimage to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It very much depends on our attitude. But if we're too much absorbed in our material situation, too much worried about the position of our body or mind, and arranging for all of our physical comforts and needs, and then our mind becomes in the wrong position, and we have the wrong attitude. So we can't properly receive the divine flow of unlimited mercy which is available in Vrindavan. In the Mathura Mahatmya, the quote to Padma Purana, telling that even a person who has very little inclination for God, if he comes to Mathura for one day, he can awaken his devotional sentiment. Mathura is so powerful. Even one day in Vrindavan, you can awaken your bhakti. So we've been here for 2 or 3 days. So it all depends on your adhikar, your eligibility, your qualification, your mentality, and your attitude. So now, this is the end of the parikrama, and then from here we'll take Jumuna Snan and then continue Vrindavan parikrama, chanting japa, and maybe stop time to time. But now we're at this place. Prabhupada said this is the center of the universe. In the words of our founder Acharya, he said, Radha Damodar is the center of the universe. It's the hub of the wheel. The wheel, everything expands from here. What does that mean? It means that everything expands from the consciousness and the realization that I am a servant. If we actually develop that realization deep in the core of our heart, then everything will grow and expand from that. Because that is the very, very basis of faith. We should have Shraddha is the basis of prema. The foundation of prema is Shraddha, or faith. And faith is based on the realization that God is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Master, and I am His servant. That is faith. We have faith in God. faith that God is the Supreme Person, the Supreme Master, and faith that if I serve Him, I will get everything. I will get maintenance, I'll get protection, I'll get liberation, I'll get a divine body, a spiritual body, and I'll attain eternal resonance in the Sri Vrindavan Dham to the loving service of the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Krishna. This is all faith. So that faith brings us to the point of service. Seva, ado shvada tata saru sangha, bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means seva. Seva means service. So without faith, then we can't perform service. So service is the basis of everything. So now we're in Seva Kund, the place where Krishna serves Radharani. So there's unlimited power to receive the blessings for service here. So now in this last few minutes or whatever we spend here, we should engage in service here. I remember once we preached about this point of serving in Seva Kund, and then there was a group of Russian devotees. Then even while we were lecturing, a group of devotees ran out to the market and they bought brooms. They bought brooms and they bought, these coconut brooms. They bought brooms and different things. And they all came back here and said, Maharaj, we want to do some seva. And they all started sweeping the temple and the back. And they had 6 or 8 or 10 devotees started sweeping the whole place. It was like Dukhi Krishna did when he got the ankle bell from Srimati Radharani and later became known as Shamananda Prabhu. So this is a special place. So first of all, we'd like to request all the devotees that the last day of the Parikramas. This is the last temple that we've come to. Of course, in the evenings in both the other temples, as you like. And tomorrow there's Ratha Yatra in Mathura. Tomorrow there's Ratha Yatra in Mathura. And so this is it. This is the last day. So let us come to this place of Seva Kunj and render service. If you have, if you want to give any donations, you should give your donations here to Radha Damodar and offer your heart here. Now for your soul here, and pray for that seva bhav. Pray that the dust of this seva kunj will fill us with the seva mentality, with the attitude of service. And that is the whole purpose of chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna means to reform the consciousness, to change the attitude, to bring us to the attitude of pure devotional service, which means pure seva, pure service. I'm simply a servant. Prabhupada taught us that when we chant Hare Krishna, we're chanting, we're praying, we have this prayer. My dearest Srimati Radharani, you are the personification of a service mentality. You have no other thought, no other wish, no other desire.